Texas.
That's so dumb.
Velger.
Oh, you idiot.
And Mass.
Holy crap.
Velger and Mass.
I hate that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tannehill for the Dolphins survey. What he sees in front of him, a field of defensive backs and a hawking tight end who stands at the 15-yard line. Tannehill throws down the middle, caught by Stills, laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the foot race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it on the lateral. Once, then twice, and Drake takes it in, and the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief.
I don't know what to say. I've never seen anything like it.
Ruling on the field is confirmed. It is a touchdown.
Every time we practice it, it's for the Hail Mary, but got to be ready for anything. It's football. The way it ended, I mean, it sucked. I mean, never really been a part of anything like that. I feel like it's going to test our character big time, how we bounce back from something like that. And just got to make that tackle.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Let's get right into it. Fully loaded program here with Maz and Big Jim Murray alongside in our Town Fair Tire studios. What do you say to that, Anthony?
Okay, so this would be a great day to be on satellite because all the language I can think of to assess this game, most of it is four-letter words and most of it isn't allowed by the FCC.
Off-air show, Felger and Maz on Facebook Live tonight at 6:05 for all those words.
I mean, really? Like, what a poop storm. Totally. And so to me, ultimately, here's where I sort of land on it. For 20 years, the trump card that every Patriots fan has ever had is the coach and the quarterback. For 20 years, the coach and the quarterback. They never screw up. Under pressure, they're better than anybody. You don't see the kind of mistakes that other teams make. For 20 effing years, the coach and the quarterback. And yesterday, both of them let them down enormously, along with others. But to me, the fact that they were involved in it the way they were at such high degrees is the most stunning part of the whole story.
So on the last play, having Rob Gronkowski out there is where you start.
Absolutely. I mean, no question about it. What is he doing on the field? And really, maybe not even the biggest part of it. You take McCourty off when you put him on? That was the choice? You had a million other choices. You put Gronkowski on and took McCourty off? Who's your fastest straight line runner and an exceptional tackler. Exceptional. Like, that's the guy you take off the field. The free safety that you're paying $10 million a year to do exactly that in that situation. To get his ass back there and make the play. Right? That's the guy you take off the field. To me, that's more stunning than Gronk being out there.
So the whole thing, I think, is the Hail Mary defense. That's what it was. It was the Hail Mary defense. And the other giveaway is that they had Van Noy as a
spy.
Well, spy slash rusher. I think he's supposed to come on a delayed rush. Remember, the Trubisky Hail Mary in Chicago came up a yard short because you remember Van Noy came in and hit?
Sure.
Tannehill, he sort of waited, sort of shadowed him. And then when Tannehill got out on the edge, Van Noy rushed him. And I think that's why Tannehill's Hail Mary came up a yard or two short.
Trubisky, sorry.
Same guy, right? Trubisky's Hail Mary came up a yard or two short. So I think they just had the same play on, which is they're expecting Tannehill to get to the edge, and they wanted Van Noy there to disrupt the throw just a little bit because they thought they were throwing into the end zone.
Right, except the ball in Chicago was at midfield.
And this one was at the 31-yard line.
And Ryan Tannehill had an ankle injury during the game, and he has also been dealing with a shoulder injury. There was no way that Tannehill was going to be able to make that throw. He wasn't. A 75-yard throw into the end zone, it wasn't going to happen.
So it's not just Gronk. It's the whole defense was the Hail Mary defense.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. No two ways about it. Like all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill's Michael Vick, and he's going to launch one from the 25-yard line into the end zone. And I know the snap was at the 31, but realistically, what you're talking about, a 75-yard pass to get it to the end zone? That's what's going to happen with a guy on a bad leg and a bad shoulder? I mean, come on.
How do you look at the game overall?
I mean,
if the Pats had won, if they had defended that final play, would you have called it a good win?
No.
Me? Probably not.
I wouldn't have. I would have been happy that they got out of there with a win, but they should have blown the doors off of that team, and they were going that way. After that second punt block, was like, okay, they're doing to what this team, what I thought that they should do. That is a wretched organization. That team's lucky to be at 500 and now a game over thanks to the stupid loss yesterday. They were on their road to killing that Dolphins team, much like they did in week four. And then they let it get all away from them, starting with Brady, that he turned into a pumpkin. That was as good as he's played since Super Bowl 52. And then he turned into a pumpkin after that touchdown to Rob Gronkowski. There has to be some sort of injury or something going on with him there, because he looked like he played against the Tennessee Titans after that touchdown.
I mean,
he turned into the same exact quarterback as he did in Nashville in that second half of that game.
Murray put it right. You'd have been happy with it to get out of there with a win, given the difficulties they have down there every single year, right? So you'd have been happy with it. But the fact of the matter is the defense was wretched all day long.
Right.
There was a lot to be concerned about independent of the way it ended.
And you still say different team on the road than at home.
Absolutely.
Without question.
Which is always, that's just a concern. If you have that kind of team where they're one way at home and another way on the road,
you're a fraud.
That's usually a bad sign.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep. And I think even in victory, you would have said, they still weren't ready to play.
Especially the defense.
Or, you know, half of the team wasn't ready to play. And especially the defense. Oh, my God. Especially the defense. The whole first half. Pass go down and score. Immediately give it up. Pass go down and score. Immediately give it up. Pass go down and score. Immediately give it up. And against who? Frank Gore? And Brandon Bolden? And what Stills? Is Stills a decent number two receiver?
Yeah. Maybe even a third.
I mean, he's
okay.
No, a decent number two is a fair assessment of Kenny Stills.
If you've got a good receiving core, he's your number two or three if you're really deep. But he ain't no. What is that? And boy, did he puss out in that game, too.
Totally.
Oh, my God.
He tried to give the Patriots the game.
How soft can you be?
That's what we should be talking about today.
Never mind Tannehill, who bags out of the game in the second quarter. I thought that was soft coming off the field and then walks clear across the field off the, you know, off the pitch into the locker room. Well, if you're okay to walk 120 yards off the field, you could have finished. So, anyway, I think the Dolphins are soft and whatever. But that's a team that went up and down on you. So
they weren't even putting third downs, Mike.
They went 1 for 7 on third down.
Only 7 attempts.
All 5 scoring drives, they never got to third down.
So even if you defend that play, you're left with that, which is, I don't know. I mean, I would have called it a good win because a win's a win, and you have such little success down there. But that wouldn't have changed the way you played that game.
No, absolutely not. There was enough there to look at it and say, you know, there's still a lot to be worried about. It's not as if they turned some corner, because I thought going in there was a chance they had turned a corner. I thought there was a chance, although to me, again, I felt like it was going to be a rock fight for the most part. It ended up being a shootout. So, I thought it was going to be, for the most part, some sort of nip and tuck game, but I was not expecting that.
So the Brady thing, Murray, when did he, you know, go down when he was walking off the field? Was that after the Gronk touchdown?
Yep.
And was that in the second or third quarter?
Second.
Okay, so the whole nonsense at the end of the second quarter came after that.
Yeah.
Because as bad as the timeout, the non-timeout, or the taking the sack on third down with the clock winding, is just, you know, mind-boggling that Tom Brady did that. You never see him make a mistake like that, ever.
20 years in to have a brain fart like that, it's just, it's inexplicable.
Oh, my God. He forgot how many timeouts they had.
I mean, that is, again, Herm Edwardsian.
Tell you what, though,
But hold on. But to me, the play before.
Thank you.
Is every bit as frightening. So you, Murray, you mentioned like he looks like he did in Tennessee. That was Tennessee.
Exactly same type of look.
Oh,
like
my
bailing
God.
Bailing out of it, you know, the shoulder turn. Like that was what you saw against the Tennessee Titans. He was either afraid to get hurt or he's dealing with an injury that's undisclosed.
It's that play before. It's like, wow, hang in there an extra second. You got Hogan wide open. You bailed out on the play.
And Hogan looked pissed.
Hell yeah.
He looked pissed. Like, you got to be kidding me. I get open finally, and you throw it to me, and you throw it 10 feet over my head.
Because you won't hang in there an extra half second.
He looked pissed. So I think, I mean, again, it all lines up right. He throws a touchdown to Gronk. He falls down or goes down coming off the field, grabs his knee, and then he's not the same the rest of the day. So to me, there's something there. I don't know, maybe he just can't land on that leg and finish the throw. Who the hell knows? But there's something there. He's not right.
It's so weird, though, because he looked as good as he's looked all year.
He threw the ball better than he's thrown it all year.
The throw to Patterson was awesome.
Oh, what a dart.
Best throw of the year.
Tremendous. Just tremendous.
I mean, so that's the other thing, too, right? Like you've said in the past, that the way you've always understood painkillers is that they last about a half.
Well, this is true.
Oh, right.
You get to, you have to pick a half. You either do it at halftime and have the second half, or you do it before the game and you have the first. But they're not going to give you 2 shots in a row, so pick it.
So maybe that was a factor. Maybe all of a sudden the things started to wear off and Brady started to have pain there, and then there you go.
I've seen it a million times. Absolutely. Absolutely positive. Possible, Mass. Absolutely possible.
I mean, they held the Dolphins to 1-for-7 on third down. They blocked two punts.
Inside the 20.
They didn't turn the ball over. And they lost the game.
That's a stat I want to know. Has a team ever blocked two punts in a game and then ultimately lost that game? I can't imagine it's ever happened more than once.
It's unbelievable.
Twice.
Really, it's unbelievable. And like, I know we all focus on the last play. Brady, Tom Brady, forgetting how many timeouts they had. And this is not, you know, this is not totally unprecedented. The timeout thing is, the fact that he sat there and said, I thought we had a timeout left. I was stunned when I heard him say that. What? Like, I would have accepted, look, I just got to get rid of the ball
well,
there.
Well, at least he owned his mistake, unlike somebody else.
I don't totally believe him. Did he motion for a timeout after the sack, Jimmy Stewart?
He did not. I thought the same thing. Brady said he had one in his back pocket, but he didn't do anything on the field to signal for a timeout in the moment. He just kind of got up and slugged like,
right.
Oh, well, we're going to the half.
Right.
So that's a good point.
He didn't roll around and call for the timeout.
Because usually he's really aggressive in getting out and going, timeout, timeout, timeout.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fire drill, the May Day field goal last year in New Orleans.
Right.
Remember? It was not the exact same, but a similar sort of thing. No timeouts right before the half. And he scrambled, but he knew it. He scrambled, popped up, and ran off the field and gave the Mayday sign, like the sign coming off the field. He knew exactly. That's not what he did. He sort of, I think he knew the second he hit the turf, he screwed up. And I don't know why he's, who knows? But if he felt he had a timeout, why didn't he call it?
I mean, you got to get rid of the ball.
If he felt he had a timeout, why didn't he call it? That's all. That's all I'm asking. All right. Boston, what do you think? 617-779-0985, right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass.
On 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
7 seconds left. Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel. Or will it? Miami running around, circling, and look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami. Stills to Parker to Drake. A lateral heard round the world.
Drake, and from 50 yards away, he's going to run through the entire Patriot defense. And you're right, look at Gronkowski's stumble. He was the safety.
I've had some pretty tough losses in my career, so I've had a lot of tough losses. We got a lot of football left. We'll see if we can, play a lot better next week. Well, we get back to work, We get back to work. If they didn't make that play at the end, we'd do the same thing. So we got to – it's disappointing when we lose games, and I think we all realize we could have done a better job in certain areas. I wish I'd have done a better job in a certain place, but that's football. And we'll just get back to work this week and try to go beat Pittsburgh.
That was an all-timer. Let the second guessing begin. Here's one I've heard. We'll lead off with Rob and Derry. What's your second guess, Rob?
A field goal. They were down on...
Hey, Robert. Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Start over. You weren't up. Go ahead. Start over.
All right. Why did they go for a field goal? Why didn't they go for the touchdown? And even if they didn't make it, they'd have had 7 seconds. 7 seconds to make a long 70-yard pass, and then they're in field goal range, but there's no time to kick a field goal.
Okay, Rob, heard this one before. Okay?
This one, really.
Okay, don't get all angry. I don't think it's that...
No, I'm sorry, Mike. It makes no... It's one of two things. You're mad the Pats didn't cover, or you're an idiot.
So, hold on. So, it's fourth and goal at the Miami 4. And instead of running another play, and there's 21 seconds on the clock. So say a running play up the middle takes 4 or 5 seconds. If you are held short on 4th and 4, they get the ball at their, just call it, 2-yard line with 15 seconds left. Would you rather have that or...
I'll take the 3 points because considering how that dumpster fire defense played for most of the afternoon, they're going to give up the long pass, they're going to get out of bounds, and you're going to lose on a field goal. You take the 3 points.
Yeah, I kicked the 3 there. I didn't second guess that at all. And, I mean, I don't know. Well, you have to answer a question for me if you can argue that side of it. Is Gronk still on the field?
On defense?
From the 4-yard line? Because if they thought he could throw it in the end zone from the 30.
I don't think he is.
Okay, so I just, to me, you're leaving the field goal in play there. You're leaving it in play. And so, you know, the guy, if they gain 50 yards or something, now there's a field goal in play and you run the risk of losing the game.
And Miami only had 2 timeouts because those idiots burned one earlier when they had 12 men on the field. So you had the advantage in terms of the clock. Not only that, when you ended up kicking off to them, their idiot return man dancing around and ends up taking 8 or 9 seconds
took
off the
forever.
Clock.
Oh, that
what
was
a
great.
Moron.
It played into the Patriots' favor. They did not have to go for the touchdown there. The right call was to take the 3 points.
I mean, it's really amazing because... they lost to a dumb team because they were dumber.
Billy in Bridgewater. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, guys. I have a couple of reasons why I think Bill Belichick either doesn't care anymore or I think he's gone senile. And one of the reasons is, well, prime example, Robert Gronkowski shouldn't have been on the field on the defense because I think the way he looked like all throughout the offense, I think overall the health and everything. And the second reason is, well, you try to sign a kicker to $8 million. That was the rumor, right? Maybe he's just, you know.
How do you feel about franchising Steven Gostkowski?
Murray, go ahead.
The hell off this team. Enough with this guy. Oh, we're going to talk about franchising. I don't know. It was we made something out of it last week because it was a former agent that said, oh, the Patriots would be right to end up giving the franchise tag next season to Steven Gostkowski. Please. What a puddle he is.
I mean, they should have won the game by double digits. You don't give up the 6 at the end and Gostkowski gives you 4 more. This should have been a 10-point win. Really, to me, that's how I look at it.
And maybe just real quick, because maybe I'm making too much.
And I forgot the points Brady gave away at the end of the half. Like those two.
No. 7 points right there.
They should have won the game by double digits.
Field goal, extra point, Brady's brain hurt, that's 7 points. You know, conservatively, that's 7 points.
Right, and the 6 Miami got on the last play, that's 13. Okay, really. You should have won that game like 38-24 or something like that. It's a joke.
Here's Mary in Manchester, fine supporter of Christmas in the City. Mary, that's you, right?
It is. Thanks, Mike.
How you doing?
What the hell was that last night?
What was that, Mary?
I don't know, but what happened to the Belichick mantra of playing a full 60 minutes? I mean, how did they let that happen at the end?
So, Mary, see, I think he was still playing 60 minutes. I just think it was a simple but unforgivable mistake. He thought they were throwing it into the end zone. Simple enough. I mean, that's what I think he thought they were going to do. They were throwing it in the end zone.
It made the national news.
It's a good way of looking at it, Mary.
It is. If it's on Seacrest and Kathy Lee, you're in deep trouble.
Oh, yeah, you are porked if that happens. That is never a good thing because it's either about the air on the footballs or something you did that was completely, totally stupid.
Thanks.
So apparently they play the full 60. They don't coach the full 60.
Well, right. But, I mean, make no mistake, he was coaching to the end. He called for that squib kick because he thought that was the right thing to do. And he called for the Hail Mary defense because he thought that what was coming. I thought, and I said it in real time, because the Patriots were playing so far off, I thought the play for the Dolphins, and again, they snapped it with 7 seconds, is a real quick 10-yard out.
And then throw the Hail Mary.
And then throw the Hail
That's
Mary.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
Because now you're at the 40, and now you can make it. And so I thought for sure, especially when I saw the way the Patriots lined up on D, 20 yards off the ball, well, you just hit Stills right there on the sidelines for an 8-9 yard gain. Boom, now you're on the 40. Now you can reach.
Assuming Stills actually goes out of bounds.
Oh, right, and doesn't take a knee because he's afraid of getting hit. Oh, the puss.
That's unbelievable.
Can you believe that?
All of it. I told you. The Dolphins were stupid. 12 men on the field. Stills goes down before the 1st yard marker. Then he drops a pass. Like the whole thing. They were stupid. And you were stupider. If that's even a word.
Look at what crawls out of the woodwork. Carlton, go ahead.
Hey, Gap Boy, I hope you got a warehouse of weed stocked up because you've become the New York Jets and you don't know it yet. So let me get this straight. Brandon Bolden, 2 carries, 60 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gostkowski misses an extra point, misses a 42-yard field goal. Brady has a brain fart at the end of the 1st half. And Bill Belichick, the genius, gives up the longest regulated could have made that tackle, Cat Boy. And get the pain will be over, though, pretty soon, because once they go out in the first round, Bill Belichick is going to become the coach of the Green Bay Packers, as long as he can get his Spawn, Brian, and Stevie jobs there. So talk up, Cat Boy, because the next decade is going to be really painful for you.
Okay. Does feel like the clouds are coming in, and you're right. I went to the dispensary just about a week ago. I said that it's funny he said that, because during the postgame with Beadle, I mean, the way that finished, that's something that does happen to the Jets or the Arizona Cardinals.
Does that loss leave a mark?
Yeah, how can it not?
Okay, so 4th and 2 left mark.
Yes.
Fourth and two.
See, I'm not convinced of it.
Okay, and I'm not quite either. Why? How come you're not?
Because the rest of the conference is like crumbling at its ankles.
You're still home in the you still got the bye.
I mean, you know, so I want to see how this plays out this week. And had Pittsburgh won yesterday, I'd feel really good about the Patriots going into Pittsburgh. But the fact that Pittsburgh lost to me sort of compounds it on both sides. Like, now that game's going to be a bloodbath. That's how I look at it. But so I want to see how they respond. That's all. Because the fact of the matter is that for as traumatic as that was, and it was, that was full-fledged football trauma. That's what that was at the end of that game. They're really not that much worse off. I mean, they, you know, Kansas City is probably out of reach now. Who knows? But even that, I wouldn't completely rule it out. And they're still in possession of the number two seed. If they just win out, if they win next week, they're home against Buffalo and the Jets.
You know, and they're still, Pittsburgh still can't catch them. Even if they lose to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's not going to catch them. It's Houston.
Right, but then you run the risk of losing the bye still.
Yeah.
Right? So if you win at Pittsburgh, you're going to get a bye.
No, it's over.
Right? So it's they're really not that much worse off.
They're not. Tom and Newton, your thoughts.
Yeah, hey, guys. First, it was good to see everybody on Saturday for Christmas in the city. That was good. As far as that complete debacle of a game yesterday is concerned, I don't think the ending, you know, as terrible as that was, is really the main takeaway. I think the main takeaway is two things. One, the defense is back to being a sieve. They couldn't, you know, get a stop against one of the worst, most under-equipped offenses in the league. You had an injured, hobbled Ryan Tannehill out there. You couldn't get a stop when you needed one against them. The second thing, all things considered, I think the offense, you know, Gronk having him getting going until they took their foot off the gas, actually showed you something yesterday. But with Gronk on the field at the end of the game, that's not Gronk's fault. That's Belichick.
Of course.
They were too far for Hail Mary. That wasn't going to work. Belichick should have realized that. Having Gronk out there is like sending Tuukka Rask out as one of your shooters for an overtime shootout. Terrible decision. It's Bill's fault. Terrible.
Of course. Of course it's not Gronkowski's fault. And I think it was a simple miscalculation. Simple. They thought they were throwing in the end zone. That's why Van Noy is up there to hit the quarterback late. It's why the defense is the way it is. I mean, even on a jump ball situation, though, I still have Devin McCourty out there.
Absolutely. See, that part I almost find worse.
I mean, no matter what your situation, how is Devin McCourty not out there?
He should be on the field. Like, that's the part I don't get. And if you looked at it and you said, well, McCourty's really slow. He's not. I mean, maybe he lacks, you know, you would say laterally he's not as fast or as quick as some other guys. But we know for a fact that his straight line speed in the NFL is elite. It's elite. How is he, of all the plays in that game, McCourty was on the field for every defensive snap yesterday except one. He's the guy you take off the field for Gronk? Like, that is the part that I find completely unconscionable. Like, I look at that one and go, let's just for a second say I agree with you on Gronk, which I don't. But let's just say I do. McCourty's the guy you're taking off? You couldn't find some other stiff on the field to take off?
Bill Belichick slated to meet the media here in the next 15 minutes. We're going to give you that sound as soon as it's available. He'll be asked about it. Hopefully he'll have some better answers than he did yesterday. Here's what he said yesterday. I've got to call this in the first segment. You know, he didn't really answer why Gronkowski was out there, but he allowed for the fact that, you know, Hail Mary defense, and which... That's why he was out there, because he thought they were throwing in the end zone. But here's Bill after the game.
Well, they could throw it deeper. They could run the Desperado type play, which was kind of a in-between 20-yard pass, and then it turned into Desperado. Unfortunately, we didn't do a good job on it today, so we need to obviously coach it better, play it better.
Okay, so he still thought there was a possibility that they were throwing it deep.
So I even wondered, I said, well, wait a minute. Like, what if Miami had if they had thrown the sideline route that you were talking about, you know, 10, 15-yard play.
Step out.
And then they're throwing the Hail Mary on the next play. Maybe they were worried about getting Gronk on the field.
They had two timeouts.
They had two timeouts left.
Two timeouts.
So, non-factor.
Non-factor.
Like, you know, no matter how you try to come up with an explanation.
They blew it.
To defend it.
Bill blew it.
You can't.
He made a mistake.
Oh, boy, did he ever.
He made a mistake. Brady admitted his. Will Bill admit his?
No. What are you, high?
He's on the phone in about 15 minutes. We'll find out. Here's Murray's update, then right back to you.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tannehill, last shot, back to throw. They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do, to Parker. Parker pitches it. And it's Greg.
Greg, 30, 20. Greg Pounce has got a tackle.
Oh, that one out.
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me? That is unbelievable!
I don't believe what I just saw!
Oh.
There are no flags!
No flags!
And the game is over!
That's what it sounded like yesterday in Miami. Ben in the car, your thoughts. Back with Felger Maz. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First off, Murray, I am pissed because I didn't cover yesterday. But most importantly, I think it's quite obvious the blame goes 1, Belichick, 2, Gostkowski, and 3, Brady. I did think it was interesting that Brady was willing to fess up while Bill wasn't. But, I mean, it's every time we go to Miami, Bill doesn't have the guys ready. And then Gostkowski, I mean, you have one job. Brady's mistake is bad, but one mistake, really, amongst a greater game plan. I think that could have been sort of buried and written off as just, you know, his one mistake. And as you said, probably 20-year career. But it's Bill, it's Gostkowski, and it's Brady. And I'm just so sick of these road games where it's just like the defense doesn't even have an attempt of showing up. It's sickening.
So here's my question. Thanks for the call, Ben. Is this a road thing or a Miami thing?
It's a road thing. This year, it's a road thing. It's not, I mean, it's a Miami thing too. Don't get me wrong. They have problems every year down there. It's hard to argue that one. But, you know, anything in the short term matters more because it's the same people. So to me, it's a road thing. Like, I just look at it this year and say Tennessee, you know, Detroit. Like, how do you explain those?
They've scored 4 offensive touchdowns on the road in the fourth quarter this season. It's a road thing. They're not a good road team.
Absolutely. It's a road thing more than a Miami thing. They had the game won. And I'm sorry, I put Brady before Gostkowski. That mistake at the end of the second quarter, holy crap. Like, that is Mickey Mouse, like, stupid quarterback syndrome.
I call that a Herm Edwards special.
Wow, is that bad? I mean, if you know, and again, I can only remember one other occasion during Brady's career where something like that happened. And it struck me immediately, and I went back and looked it up. It was 2012, week 6 at Seattle. They had the ball in the 3-yard line at the end of the half. Brady threw it out of the back of the end zone. There was still a second on the clock to kick a field goal. They called intentional grounding. The Patriots got no points. And then at the end of the game, the Seahawks threw that touchdown pass to Sidney Rice where Tavon Wilson let him get behind him. So it was sort of the same thing. You gave away points at the end of the first half, and then right near the very end of the game, you gave up a ridiculous play.
The defense, though, man. You go up 6-0. Then you allow Miami to score on 5 plays, 75 yards. You score a touchdown 2 drives later to make it 13-7. Then you give up a 2-play, 75-yard touchdown drive.
That was the Bolden run, right?
To go behind by a point. You get the ball back. You run down the field for another touchdown to go 20-14. Then you allow Miami to score 6 plays, 75 yards. Miami, each time, answers every one of your touchdowns in the blink of an eye in the first half.
Their penchant for making bum quarterbacks look like world beaters, from Blake Bortles to Nick Foles to Ryan Tannehill, is truly uncanny.
Staggering.
Didn't they block the first punt somewhere in there?
there was a block punt in there.
Oh, God.
Here's Tony in Lancaster. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, hey, guys, you stole my thunder while I was on hold, and that is I'm not buying the fact that Brady thought he had a timeout left. If that's the case, once he got sacked, why didn't he immediately call for a timeout? He's done it before. It doesn't make any sense. Second, do you guys hear anything about James White and the amount of plays he was involved offensively? As to, I think I read somewhere that he was only involved in about 40% of the offensive plays in the game.
So his snap count, Maz is going to look up for you right now, I think. But he was not he had four carries and four targets.
Yeah, he was in 33 offensive snaps, 40%.
So if they're just looking at the long haul and managing him, I think there's value there.
Sure.
Because
if that's what it is.
You know, so the numbers I don't have in front of me, but it's, his workload has already doubled from what it was all of last year, something like that. The numbers are out there that his touches and his workload is just off the charts compared to what he has been his entire career. So if they treat this game as this is a game where we preserve James White and try and save some of the bullets, I'm in favor of that. I'm okay with that. They had enough to win.
Yeah, I don't mind that either, especially if Burkhead was going to get a little more involved, which it felt like he did.
It'd be nice if the rookie running back was as good as you people thought. He's just not.
He's so bad in short yardage.
And his short yardage is just wretched. So this is like another thing. Should you have gone for seven down there? Well, if you had a running back who could lower his pads a little bit and get those tough yards, maybe you wouldn't have had to make that choice. But his short yardage, man, is just so weird. Did they never line up at third and one in Georgia? Like, does that not exist in the SEC? Or is it all this spread, option, blah, blah, blah? You never have to line up and run for a third and one against a tough defense in college. Did he never do it?
No, it was probably a lot like yesterday. Miami had scoring drives, and they never got to third down.
God.
That's probably what happened with Georgia.
And against a bad run defense to boot. I think they went into that game ranked 30th. And the offensive line was bad, too. There was one play early. They handed off to Burkhead, like third and change. And Trent Brown is out, like, trying, who should I block? And he gets blown up by Kiko Alonso. Like, they were bad with the run game all game.
So they tried to. They wanted to. They were clearly running a lot early.
Yeah, I almost thought too much. 20 carries to Michelle in that game when Brady is shredding them.
But I think they're trying to prove a point. Be a road team. Run the ball and play defense and establish.
But it was working for them on that first drive.
It was never working for them once. That approach was never working for them.
The first drive it did. They were mixing it in.
The first drive? That was one of those classic first drives where no one covers the Patriots? It's like everyone's wide open, and the Brady just dumps it off left and right. They didn't run the ball a lick in this game, not from the start, not at the end. They tried, but they didn't move the ball running, Jim, I don't think. From the start, they didn't run it in play defense from the start. This was an old-school, all-Tom Brady game until he got to the second half and then sort of oddly lost his stuff. When he was hot, man, when he heated up, it was fun to see Brady heat up like that again.
It was the best he's thrown the ball all year.
Oh, my God.
The ball had zip on it. It was on target. He was money. I thought, whoa, like, where did this come from? And for that matter, I felt the same way about Gronk. Like, I looked at it and said, this is the best they've looked all year.
I'm just looking at Michelle on first drive. Gained 3 yards on first down, 4 yards on second. Brady passes for the first down. Then they get another first down, Michelle up the middle for three, Brady, and then Michelle for four, same thing. Then Brady picks it up on third and three. Michelle, no gain on the next first down. I mean, I don't know, he had a couple 3 and 4 yard pickups on that first drive, if that's what you're talking about,
Yeah,
Jim.
That's all. They're just showing it. I mean, they were mixing it in. And then the whole thing, to me, look, and this is where I'm going to, pile on the kicker a bit. It really did deflate. I mean, that drive was crisp. They're going to kick the bejesus out of this terrible Dolphins team. They score early. They go up. And then he doinks the extra point. And that allows...
doesn't everyone go, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And I think
yeah.
the team, too, that allows... that's where doubt starts to enter your mind. Oh, my God, we're going to do this again down here in Miami. It's going to be one of these type of games. We killed the team in week four. Now it's going to be an attractor bowl, which it was. A shootout with Ryan Tannehill. And a lot of that has to do with doubt that sinks in after missed extra point. Doubt and stupidity, thanks to Stephen Gostkowski. Oh, yeah, but let's franchise the kicker next offseason. That's a smart move. A 35-year-old who can't hit extra points or field goals in big games and is out trying to get his MBA to boot. The hell out of here.
Tannehill threw 19 passes and had a rating of 155. The Patriots held the ball for 35 minutes, and Miami threw 19 passes. They blocked two punts, and they lost. My God.
Long commercial-free segment is next, and Tom Brady in the two-minute drill at the end of the first half. What was that?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
See, part of the problem down here, too, you're down and tight, so you're playing against the clock. That's in the back of your mind. You're getting pressure. That's in your mind. So it's, let's make a quick decision. It's a one read, and boom, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, I got to pitch it.
They can't afford a sack. That's the last thing for Brady and the Patriots. Other than a turnover here, it could take no timeouts for either team. With Gordon to the right, joined by Gronkowski, motions in that direction. Two receivers left, White in the backfield as Brady takes the snap. Stands in under pressure. He's hit, and down he goes. Brady is sacked and back at the 10-yard line, and the Patriots cannot clock it. With the clock counting down and time expiring on the opening half.
Are you kidding me?
The Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Indeed allowed the sack
He's
to
got
occur.
To throw that away.
Tom Brady with an uncharacteristic mistake after he missed Hogan with an opportunity to add to the lead.
Oh,
the Dolphins can exhale with a huge sigh of relief. Miami trails still by just six as we head to halftime.
That was a bad, terrible play by me. That should never happen. I just lost. I thought we had one timeout. We called the one, and then we ran a couple plays, and I was just not thinking on third down. So it was just a play that should never happen.
Yeah. Time ran out on us. Yeah. It's obviously not what we were trying to do. It's obviously just what it wasn't a good play. It's not what we were trying to do. So.
So that's the reaction of Brady and Belichick after the game. Brady admitting he forgot what the situation was on timeouts, except if he felt he had one, why didn't he signal for the timeout?
It's a good point. I didn't even consider that.
I mean, and you, I go back and look at it. Did you go back and look at it by any chance?
I haven't yet.
But I'm almost sure. I felt he just sort of laid on the ground.
He did.
He did. He just laid on the ground. And
he
sort
did.
Of, he, and he, I think, I, in my read of it was, he knew there was, no, he couldn't clock it because it was fourth down. And there was no time to get the field goal unit in at that situation. You know, they have a drop dead time of like 12 seconds or whatever. And if you're inside of it, you just, there's not enough time. And I think he knew it.
See, that's what I took it as he said, we're screwed. I screwed it up. And he just said, the clock's going to run out.
That's it.
So what's the point? Like, what am I going to do? Hustle up and run for a second? And then the clock expires? Like, you know, I took it.
He wasn't out of the pocket to, you know, intentionally ground it legally. So he was susceptible to an intentional grounding, which have ended the half as well. So I just think he flat out blew it, got greedy and blew it. Period.
I mean, I was stunned by that thing. I thought you couldn't find somewhere to throw the ball away with like 3 seconds left.
And it wasn't like he got swarmed by three or four guys. When he got the one defensive lineman had his hand on him, like he kind of did the reach and grab. It's like, dude, throw it away. Like everyone, I think, was screaming at the television at the time, like, throw it away. What the hell are you doing? And he just went down like a slug.
So you combine, there's 3 points at least, you know, and if he hangs in there on the play before to Hogan, it's seven. But he wussed out of that one. And I'm ripping the guy. Brady was brilliant for half this game at least. But on that Hogan play, wow, that was bad, man. Hang in there. So he misses Hogan. That should have been seven. So fine. Now you get to the third down, at least throw it away and get three. Missed extra point. Now there's four. Gostkowski misses the 42-yarder. Now there's seven. And you said defend the final play. Now you're looking at 13.
Right. The game should have been 40-28.
My God.
It's really unbelievable. They should have won by double digits when you really weigh it all out like that. For them to make that many mistakes. And, you know, it's not like Gostkowski's field goal was a 54-yarder.
42.
I mean, that's a layup for crying out loud.
Two straight weeks, sub 50 yards. He's missed them.
Freaking slice. He's a slice.
Even the ones he was hitting were going right.
Slice. Oh, yeah. He almost missed another one. That's right.
He did.
Almost sliced right out of there. Good God.
Let's franchise the kicker, though. It's a great idea.
Franchise the kicker.
I'm telling you.
When all is said and done, he might end up being, I'm sorry to cut you off, but this guy, too, and still people defending him, too. Like, when all is said and done, he might end up being one of, if not the most overrated athletes in Boston sports history.
Oh, God. Strong. Strong to quite strong, Murray. But you might be right. All right, we'll get back to reaction in 1 second. I do want to tell you about our Christmas in the City online auction. Just in case you didn't know, Christmas in the City is a 100% volunteer nonprofit organization that plays Santa. Or, in other words, provides Christmas to kids who wouldn't ordinarily experience it, which sounds so foreign to so many of us. But there are so many kids, thousands of kids today, living in Boston or in homeless shelters or at foster homes that don't know Christmas, don't know what it's like to ask Santa for a gift and then wake up on Christmas morning and have that present underneath the tree. They don't even know trees. They don't even know Santa. Honestly, you wouldn't believe it, but it's true. So Jake Kennedy, his wife Sparky, these are the folks that have started Christmas in the City 29 years ago, and they're still going strong. They need your help, though. They need toy or monetary donations, which they will take at any time at their website at christmasinthecity.org. You can also find drop locations for toys at christmasinthecity.org. There's also a chance for you to experience their great Christmas party. The big Christmas party they throw for the kids is really for invite only. I say that they round up the kids from the homeless shelters and the foster homes and whatnot, so it's not open to the public. However, what is open to the public, because they have this big indoor amusement park, this huge indoor with, you know, again, it's no other way to say it, the amusement park with rides and everything. It is open to the public the day before the party, Saturday, December 15th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Boston Convention Expo. It's just $20, and that's a donation. That $20 goes straight to Christmas in the City to fund the party for the homeless kids, okay? But for just $20, you get to enjoy unlimited rides and meet Santa. It's a great day for kids of all ages. And for more info, again, visit 985thesportshub.com and christmasinthecity.org. Finally, our online auction is up and running. The online auction. Again, all proceeds benefit Christmas in the City. We have a 4-pack of tickets to the Celtics versus the Pacers Wednesday, January 9th. 6 rows behind the Celtics bench. Okay, that includes a $200 Tony C's restaurant gift card. Starting bid, only $150. So this thing just started. So the values right now are through the roof. It's so easy to get on there and bid these up and see if you can get away with something. How about a golf outing with Tony Maz? Enjoy 18 holes with Tony and two friends at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club. Are these friends of yours or friends of theirs?
Friends of theirs.
Okay.
So three people.
Maz and three people. Maz is going to golf with three of you all in Atkinson. Starting bid $125. How about an overnight stay at the Seaport Hotel plus a $200 rail stop restaurant and bar gift card? Starting bid $100. These things have just started, so tremendous value. A Larry Bird signed basketball, starting bid $150. New England Revolution VIP game day package, starting bid $100. Troy Brown signed football, starting bid $100. Boston Bruins 2018 team signed stick, starting bid $100. 4-pack of Bruins tickets for an upcoming game, starting bid $100. Okay, so all this stuff has just hit the web. The online auction has just started. The prices are cheap. So start help bidding this up. The online auction, 985thesportshub.com. Most importantly, Felger and Maz show sit-ins. These are not just viewing experiences. You don't just get to come in here and sit in the corner for 4 hours or sit behind Jimmy for two. You are on the show. You run a segment if you want. If you want to just sit there like a co-host, sit there like a co-host. If you want to take us in and out of the break, take us in and out of the break. You want to take calls, take calls. You want to read tweets and texts, read tweets and texts.
You can even ask Murray to look something up for you.
You can demand that Murray Google you something right during the segment.
And I can tell you to F yourself.
Okay, and Murray then will tell you to F yourself, but it's an authentic Felger Maz experience. You can tell someone who calls up with a bad landline to talk into it like it's a pizza. You can hang up on someone with a bad landline. You can yell on Maz or yell at Maz, dump on me, make fun of Murray, come up with a David Price voice. Whatever you want to do, it's your segment.
It's my time to shine.
Okay, it's your segment. So we're auctioning off four Felger and Maz show sit-ins. We want you here at the end of the week. It's Friday. We do them on Friday, okay? So you'll be on air on Friday, and there's only four of them. So go bid those up. 985thesportshub.com for the online auction. That should be a beaut, those live show sit-ins. That's an experiment that may be 1 year. It may be a one-off experience. We'll have to see.
Yeah, give me one moment in time.
So that's it. 985thesportshub.com for that online auction. To your phones in reaction to the Patriots yesterday in Miami. I promise after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
This is Felger and Mass
on 985
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.